The following podcast is a B&E Network exclusive. Welcome to B-Movies and E-Books. I'm Craig Wade.
And I'm Brian Allen Delaney.
And it is episode 47.
That's, yeah.
Okay. So on this episode, well, it looked like you were going to say something, but
nope.
So we will be doing reviews of Hell and Back, which is a stop motion, claymation type horror comedy with an amazing cast.
Is it actually claymation though, or was it CG?
I don't know. I know. Well, they claim that it's stop motion, so I would assume that it's claymation.
Yeah, you can't just claim anything and be wrong.
And we will also be reviewing Slush by Glenn Roth.
Yep.
So, anyway, what's new with you, Brian?
Absolutely nothing.
Cool, man.
That makes for riveting podcast entertainment.
Yeah.
No, I mean, same old, that sort of thing. Writing a little bit.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's it. Watched 11-22-63.
How was it?
Amazing, actually. I think it's fantastic.
You know, if I was them, I would make that be like 11 hours and 23 minutes and 3 seconds long.
It's a date.
No, I know. Obviously, but if I was them,
you're talking about like
I would make the total running time 11 hours 23 minutes 23 seconds. So it's like 22 minutes and 63 seconds. So it's
63 seconds.
Yeah, so it's like 23 minutes and 3 seconds. I would definitely try to do that if I was them, just to make somebody be like, "Huh." You know, just for like a mildly interesting thing for the 0.0001% that might care. Basically, it's just for me. That's what I would want them to do for me specifically.
Yeah, and I like how that's your like end all. Huh.
Yeah.
That's your big payoff. Well, you know what? Like, if they go the route that they've been going, okay, because this first episode was an hour and 20 minutes, mm-hmm. right? If they do 8 hours, that'll be...
You mean eight episodes?
If they do 8 episodes at 120 minutes, that'll be pretty close.
Yeah, and with Hulu, I would assume that it's, you know, that they don't have to hit exactly the amount.
I'm just laughing now because, like, that's possible.
That might be what they're doing. Yeah, oh, I'm really, really excited to see it. Now, how many episodes in is it now? Just two?
It's one.
Oh, one? Okay.
Well, I mean, by the time this comes out, it'll be two, because it comes on Mondays.
Oh, okay. Yeah.
And we record on Sunday. Ooh,
dude,
peeking behind the curtain.
A little too inside.
Sorry.
But it's
fantastic. Like, it's really well acted. The idea is great. There's even parts where, like... James Franco's character, like, totally lampshades how stupid of a premise it actually is.
You know? Oh, really?
Yeah, because it's basically there's no time travel, like a machine or anything like that involved. It's literally just a wormhole in some guy's cupboard.
Yeah, yeah. So you walk in, then you're out in a different time.
Yeah, exactly. But it's really well done. The production value on it's great. Like, everything looks, you know, exactly like it should. Sort of like Mad Men, you know, how everything was painstakingly, like, researched in Mad Men.
Yeah.
Like, did you know that, like, even down to the ice cube size?
Yeah.
In their drinks?
Well, a lot of that is Matthew Weiner. He's, like, totally obsessed with, like, as a showrunner.
Yeah, but that's great, though. I really enjoy that. But... like, there's also little subtle things, because the whole idea, you know, is that he's trying to change something and time doesn't want him to, you know?
Yeah.
And so it's just kind of like got this almost immune system response to it, right? And it's just weird because, like, every once in a while when he's doing something that he shouldn't be doing, like, all the people kind of look at him. Or not all of them, but, like, you'll get, like, a sly little, like, what's this guy doing sort of look from random people. Sort of like in Inception, when they started to notice you were there, how everyone would turn and kind of, like, look at you. You know what I'm talking about?
Yeah, yeah.
Yeah, they do, like, that sort of thing. And I don't know. It's really well done.
Yeah, I never read the book, but it always piqued my interest. But also, there's so much to read out there. It's hard for me to commit to any Stephen King book. And mm-hmm. so it's like, it was one of those things where it's not toward the highest of his list. And I haven't read even the highest, you know, I haven't read The Stand. So, like, am I going to be like, oh, yeah, 11-22-63? Although I did read Blockade Billy, and that's toward the lowest of his list. So I don't know what's wrong with me. I think mostly that was for length. It was like 105 pages.
Mm-hmm.
And so, anyway, it's probably even shorter in Bizarre of Bad Dreams, but this was before when it was just released as a novella. But anyway, long story short, I wanted to read it.
Cool.
Speaking of other things I really wanted to do, just in general, I wanted to see The Witch.
Sure, I'm done.
No, I'm sorry. Go ahead.
No, that was it. I was done.
Okay. No, I wanted to see The Witch this week, like, big mm-hmm. time. I've heard nothing but just cool stuff about it, and yep. did not get a chance.
I didn't either. I spent yesterday, instead of watching The Witch, going to a Hillary Clinton rally.
Oh, did you? Why?
I mean, she was in town.
So yeah.
That was it. That was the only reason, really.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
Did you watch her sit there and say things?
Oh, yeah, for 20 minutes, and then she got the hell out of there.
Yeah, and she probably got out way quicker than you did. How many people were there?
Not nearly as many as the Bernie rally I went to.
Oh, really?
And that was back in July.
Yeah.
No, there was like 2,000 people there, maybe.
Really?
Yeah.
Huh.
And she was supposed to start at 8:45. She didn't start until 10:30.
At night?
Yeah.
Huh. For some reason, I see that being past her bedtime.
Well, I was just trying to make like a cute segue about not seeing The Witch, but I got to see Hillary Clinton.
Oh, I see what you're doing.
Oh, it was a joke. That was like New Yorker style jokes up in there.
Yeah, yeah, and that was pretty deep. Well, let's get off this conversation quick. So yeah, The Witch. I wonder how it did, because it seems like for something with a very, like, it didn't have a very, very strong advertising push, but
no.
I was reading that it was projected to possibly surpass Deadpool already.
Really?
Yeah.
That's surprising.
Yeah, because whenever it came out, like, okay, so it came out this week, but in the weeks leading up to it, it looked like it was going to get a limited release.
Mm-hmm.
And it did not. It got a national release. I mean, hell, it was at Mall of the Mainland, which, yeah, for people unfamiliar with this podcast, Mall of the Mainland is a mall that it's not even open anymore. Like, you get just massive releases there. Like, it has to be a pretty wide release for it to hit there, you know?
Yeah. Yeah. So it's like, it's not a mall with a movie theater attached to it. It's a movie theater with
a closed down mall.
Yeah, with a closed down mall attached to it.
The only things attached to it now, it's so really, sad. It's that, it's a Gold's Gym, and it is a Reality of Wrestling, like, it's wrestling thing. It's a
Gold's Gym that used to be like a JCPenney.
Yeah, but dude, I heard that was the biggest Gold's Gym in the world.
Yeah. Yeah.
That makes me sad for Gold's Gym, because I thought they were huge, right? I mean,
that's a lot of floor space, though.
True. That hell, they probably have 50,000 square feet. I mean, the mall isn't small. It should have been big, but it just wasn't. Like, it's so funny to think about because, like the damn shops were like painted on.
That was my favorite part.
Where they didn't sell enough floor space. They just had like, you know, like Susie's Seashells, like an obviously fake store. I worked there for a while, for a long time.
Not at Susie's Seashells.
I just sat out next to the painting. Coming soon. No, yeah, I worked there for a long time. So I do get sad and sentimental whenever I walk in and just see it being like dead.
Yeah, you kind of witnessed the decline of it.
Because
like you started whenever it was basically good. Or, I mean, relatively good.
Like Friday nights there, it was hard to find parking and it was like crazy busy. And but it never was like it was just people like us like loitering.
We loitered at that mall all the time.
Yeah. And but even then it was sad. You know? When I worked there, Corn Dog 7 turned into Corn Dog's Heaven. Like it went out and someone just called it Corn Dog's Heaven and had the same menu.
Yeah. Good times.
Yeah. So anyway, the witch wanted to see it, didn't. But okay, so Deadpool did really well last week.
Yeah, it had like the highest opening for a rated R movie in February, which is oddly specific, but still.
Yeah, but I mean, it did a lot of money. What makes me happy is now the studios are seeing that rated R movies are potential, and they've greenlit a rated R It.
And Wolverine.
It's going to be rated R?
Yeah.
Well, that makes sense.
Yeah.
I mean, it does too.
Yeah, it does too. I mean, like, the thing is, though, I don't want to see a bunch of movies just being rated R just to be rated R.
No, you know? Things that should have been rated R.
Like, things that should be rated R that are coming out. We just mentioned two of them. Alien probably should be also the new one that's coming out. So should the new Predator.
Honestly, dude, I'm at a point where I don't care about any of those anymore.
But I'm like, saying they should be rated R.
Yeah, definitely. I mean, but even AVP2 was rated R. You know, I think they saw the error in their ways. Mm-hmm. But I don't know. I mean, like, how many fucking retreads of, like, 80s stuff is there going to be? You know? Like, when are we going to actually see new stuff?
Until the money runs out.
That's frustrating. Do you find it frustrating?
Of course. We've talked about it before.
I know. I mean, but damn, I don't know. It's just frustrating.
But what's funny, though, is we're just like, but I'm excited to see that It and the Wolverine sequel.
Well, okay, but think about this. Wolverine, I'm less excited about Wolverine than I am It, because even if there were a million remakes of both, I would still be more excited about It, because obviously I'm much bigger into horror than I am into comics. However, the way I see it, Wolverine's had two shots to do two movies, Wolverine and The Wolverine, and they both were just kind of like, eh, even though he's a great character, right? Neither of those were great. It only had a TV movie, so it is like legitimate to have a real film, you know?
Yeah.
To have a theatrical film. I feel like it needs to.
I feel like, how are they going to jam it all into 2 hours?
Well, that's just because you're thinking with like the, you know, with the mini series. No, but you're thinking with the mini series in mind, you know?
Yeah.
I mean, there's a way. But no matter what they do, they're damned if they do, damned if they don't, because people are going to be like, but the miniseries had this.
Yeah, some people are going to love it. Some people are going to hate it.
Maybe they'll do it in two parts. So, which was your favorite part, when they were grown-ups or when they were kids?
I don't know.
Such an inconsequential question.
I don't know. Probably the kids part.
Yeah. Me too. I absolutely love when kids are pitted against Ultimate Evil. Like, not in real life. Just in movies. In movies. Like, I love that. But I'll tell you one thing. I'm much more excited to see Lock and Key than It. Mm-hmm. But I don't see how they're going to fit all that in a film.
No, not at all. Huh. I mean, it's hard to do like a ongoing story like that because, you know, Lock and Key was like, you know, one big long thing, sprawling tale, if you will, you know, whereas like you can get away with comic book movies because, you know, there's a lot of issues that are just like one and done. Like the storylines are small. You don't have to do all of Batman's history or anything like that.
And yet,
you
know what every I mean? Time they do.
Yeah. But well, the new one's not going to have an origin story.
You don't think?
No.
He won't even flash back to his parents.
They probably will. They've yeah. got to have the scene where the pearls fall.
Just like, I don't know.
He's going to walk by like a jewelry store and see a pearl display and he's going to freak out and then pearls will fall in front of his face.
Now, in the comics, the Joker didn't kill his parents, right?
Oh, God, no. No.
So that was kind of a cheap way to do it.
Back in the 89 Joker?
Yeah.
Oh, yeah, definitely.
Like, it just seemed a little convenient.
Yeah.
But whatever. All right.
No, it was just a random street thug named Joe Chill in most continuities. Just saying.
Yeah.
That's it.
Kind of. Why is it that comic book heroes have that?
Like cool names story. Like that?
No, I was just going to say like that backstory where they have to come from a death in the family.
It's the monomyth thing. It's the hero's journey.
But why aren't there any that are just like, nah, screw it. I just want to... I mean, I guess there are, but they're never like main characters. Like even Kick-Ass had that. Even though it came in the form of an aneurysm, you know?
Yeah. Huh. I don't know.
Well,
I'm not a...
you're not a comic book writer?
Historian.
Okay, so there's another film that made me really, really excited this week.
What?
Zombies.
Oh, yeah.
It's zombies of animals in a zoo.
See, you don't see zombie animals that often.
No.
We watched that one movie that had them.
Well, we watched two, I think, right? We watched Zombievers.
Zombievers.
But wasn't the raccoon one zombies too?
Kinda. It was very vague and unclear about whether or not they made people zombies or raccoon people.
Yeah. Well, so was Zombievers. but yeah, Zombies, it's going to be The Asylum. So I don't know if it's going to go straight to sci-fi or if they're going to try to do what they did with, I guess The Asylum wasn't involved with 400 Days. That was just sci-fi. But yeah, I don't know. I'm excited. It's
we should cover it.
It says it's Jurassic World of the Dead. So they're trying to cash in on Jurassic Park and it's a monkey. Oh no, it's a lion that looks more like a monkey than a lion.
Oh my God. That doesn't even make any sense.
No, I'm really, really excited about it though. Cause when push comes to shove, I will choose Cheesy over Stark every day.
So we should do it. When's it come out?
March. So okay. Even though they're just now like dropping news of it, but it'll be out next month. It's taken us longer to release shirts than it has for them to make this movie.
Oh, that reminds me.
Oh,
what a great segue, Craig.
Yeah.
By the time this drops, we should have a store up on the website.
Yeah. And actually, you know, we don't do premium content or anything. And not saying in, you know, some point in the future we might, that's something that we might discuss. But, you know, we really don't have a way to help us out with the server costs and all this, the shit that we incur. Like, as far as money goes, I also didn't have anyone to help me out with that sentence.
Yeah, it was a bad sentence.
But if you like us and you want to support the show in any way that you can, it would really, really help us out. If you checked it out, our shop later this week, it'll be out, like Brian said. And There's shirts, there's hats.
Yeah.
And coffee
mugs. I believe there's going to be coffee mugs.
Yeah.
And maybe buttons. We'll see.
Yeah, so
maybe some other stuff. We don't know.
So if you're the type of person that wears shirts, wears hats, drinks coffee,
I bet you could put other stuff in the mug.
Yeah, well, yeah, you can have 11 ounces of something else in it, in your heat-resistant cup. But anyway, but yeah, it would really, really be awesome if you guys could maybe... kick us a dollar or two toward a shirt. so
tell you're really selling this.
Yeah, I've never been a good carnival barker.
No.
That's why I got fired from the carnival. I was hoping you'd pick it up and say where to find it.
Oh, it's going to be at bmoviesandebooks.com. Probably /shop. But you can get to there from the front of the website as well.
Yeah, so go ahead and do that. Buy yourself a shirt. These look really, really cool. Like,
yeah,
I dig them. And so that would really help us out. So, cool.
Yeah, shirts and hats and stuff.
Yeah. Yeah, we need to have a /donate, too. See if someone will just give us money. You know, I'm thinking about going to Twitter Kanye West style. Mark Zuckerberg, please give me $53 million.
Yeah, go specifically to Mark Zuckerberg.
What a piece of shit.
I'd settle for less than that. I'd be like, hey, Mark Zuckerberg, can I have like $100?
Yeah, dude, Mark Zuckerberg, check out this t-shirt and or coffee mug.
It's like, we'll put a special edition Mark Zuckerberg shirt and make it like $100.
I like that Kanye West has been like, nah, man, if he doesn't give it, you know, he don't respect art. No, he doesn't respect someone asking for $53 million.
Yeah, that's kind of a big sum of money.
I'm tired of people's GoFundMe pages, but much less a $53 million request.
Yeah, I mean, GoFundMe. I mean, geez. So after this, go visit our Patreon page.
Yeah.
No, we don't have one of those.
Not yet.
Yet.
but anyway, yeah. So with that, you want to get into reviews or you got something else?
No, I'm done.
All right. We'll be right back after this.
There's a break in the weather and I'm cutting my tether.
All right, welcome back. We are going to get into Slush by Glenn Rolfe. All right, so first and foremost, we can't really give an accurate synopsis since this is a collection of short stories and actually some that seem oddly enough like poetry.
There's one that's specifically a poem.
The Candlelight or something, Black Candle or something. I don't
know. Candle Magic.
Yeah.
So it's like a dozen short stories, basically. I don't know if it's within the scope of the episode to go through them all, right? But I was thinking maybe we should just talk about like our one or two
highlights,
favoritists, most favoritists.
Yeah, okay. Yeah. One thing I really liked about, let me just overall, one thing that I liked about this is that it kind of, it brushed across mostly the horror genre.
Mm-hmm.
It, with the exception of maybe Something Lost was not a horror story. It kind of, it was just sentimental and actually one of the strongest.
It was written for his father that passed away.
Yeah. And it was very, very, very strong. Mm-hmm. I felt, I mean, it was only a few pages long and I was like, damn, that was really good. Like, mm-hmm. And most of the stories in here are, I don't know, 20 pages, would you say?
There's a 20? Few of them that are pretty short, but then there's a few of them that are pretty long.
Yeah.
So take that as you will.
Yeah, I don't know. I mean, the thing that I appreciated is that it didn't stick to one specific thing, you know, where it wasn't just a short story. It wasn't
a dozen zombie stories or something like that.
Yeah, and I'm not saying that there's not a time and place for that, because I think that that's cool. But this is, you know, from one author just kind of showcasing what he's got.
It's almost like a book that's a portfolio.
Yes.
You know, because there's a few different genres. Everything's written like, I wouldn't say in a different style, but with a different voice, really. You know, like the ones that are about the little kids are, you know, like the very first one, mm-hmm. Skull of Snakes,
yeah,
right, is written from a child's perspective, right? And it sounds like a kid.
Mm-hmm.
You know, but then there's ones later, like I guess Flaws was, you know, written with a internal dialogue of an adult, right? And it was written with a completely different voice.
Mm-hmm.
You know, so it's not like he was trying to shoehorn, you know, he did well with the characters, is what I'm trying to say. Like, each character sounded like a real person or whatever.
Yeah, I felt like my favorites in here would probably be, like, just like I said, Something Lost, I feel, was the strongest, mm-hmm. even though it wasn't long and it wasn't horror. It just resonated with me. And a lot of that is because of nostalgia, basically. The more human type connection, the more I tend to like a story, even if it's, I don't know. It just spoke very well of like the human condition, and I really, really liked it. But other than that, I think that the standouts for me was The Curse.
Curse was good.
And Halloween Worm.
Yeah.
And I mean, not to discount any of the others. There were some that I felt kind of indifferent about, but for the most part, this was a very, very strong collection of stories, I felt. The mm-hmm. one thing, my only criticism, I felt like in a few places, the narrator lost a lot of humanity, you know? Like, let me rephrase that. A few parts were more mean-spirited than I was expecting. And also, I felt it was more mean-spirited than the story needed.
Okay.
If that makes sense. But,
yeah.
But I don't know. I really, really, I enjoyed it a lot, actually.
Do you want to just run through kind of story, sort of like what the stories were about real quick? Not like a one-sentence description?
Yeah, sure.
Okay. So we'll go like in order. Skull of Snakes. Kids find a cursed coin.
Yes.
Was that apt enough?
Yeah.
Okay. Sweet 16, teenage romance gone wrong.
I guess. Really wrong.
Jackie Boy. How do you describe that one?
A document of a kid with his dietary. A kid and his favorite meals. I feel like you have some of these written down.
No, doing off the cuff.
Oh, okay. Well, you're better than me.
Well, I was going to say for Jackie Boy, a boy gets his just desserts.
You crafty bastard.
The Curse.
Everyone's had their favorite teachers. This is not one of them.
Okay. The Delicious Death of Parker Stevens.
And Don't Go in the Woods Alone.
Yeah, there's a good, there you go. Different. I'm In Here.
I don't remember this one.
Comfortably Numb by Pink Floyd.
Oh, okay. Yeah.
Henry. That's the actual one.
Ew. Gross.
Yeah. Yeah. Just gross.
Just nastiness. General, general nastiness.
Something lost.
Remembrance, I don't know.
Yeah. Okay. Ballad of a best-selling author.
Putting douchebags in place.
Okay. Candle magic.
Poetry. Just poetry.
Just poetry things.
Honestly, I didn't. That was the weakest one to me.
I mean, it was like a completely different feel to it. So yeah, I could see where.
I don't dig poetry, so that's why I was like, yeah. But
okay, flaws.
The killer next door. I don't.
No, that's pretty literal. And Halloween worm.
I don't know how to do that one. I don't know.
Yeah, that's. I don't know how to explain that one either. Okay, so what was like? What was your favorite one?
Well, like I said, I think that Halloween Worm and The Curse, other than Something Lost, as far as like a longer story, Halloween Worm and the Curse were my favorites.
Okay, so what did you like about Halloween Worm?
Well, I think, honestly, it treated kids like, you know, like they should be treated. They weren't, their opinions and their characters weren't discounted for their age, mm-hmm. You know? Like, kids actually face bullies and they face, like, real bullshit going on. Like, I mean, their problems are legit. And then yeah. As adults, you look at kids and you're like, oh, what are they worried about?
They don't have to pay taxes.
Yeah, exactly. And so, anyway, we tend to forget that. And these, I don't know, I'm a sucker for coming-of-age stories, and both of these were.
I've noticed that, like, when we do cover coming-of-age stuff, they usually do get really high marks from you.
Yeah, no, I like it.
Generally speaking.
If young adult had a little harder edge, like the stories, like the books that I've read that are young adult that do have a harder edge, like Rotters or like, which we didn't cover on here, but like Rotters or The Merciless, I haven't mm-hmm. read a ton of young adult, but the ones that I've seen that have harder edges, like that's right in my wheelhouse.
Yeah.
I would much rather deal with that kind of story than like you said, I'm an adult and I pay taxes. You know? Like, I don't care about that. And so I think a lot of it is because, you know, once you start working and getting in the day to day, you kind of have highlights of your life. You know what I'm saying? Like, it's like, oh, I got married. There's a highlight. Had a kid, highlight, you know, those. And but other than that, day-to-day monotony as an adult is kind of boring.
Yeah.
As a kid, it seemed like, especially like our childhood, every day was full of possibilities of, I mean, just speaking from experience, we were kind of destructive, and it's not like we were up to bad stuff, but we would just be like, hey, you want to go throw rocks at this thing? And that was fun back then, yeah. You know?
Yeah.
And so it just didn't seem like things were set in stone as a kid. And so I really enjoy stories about that.
Mm-hmm. No, I get it. I liked it too. You know what I mean? Like, the weird thing about Halloween Worm to me, like, I liked it, but I feel like it was bordering on going to the supernatural. Mm-hmm. And never went there.
Yeah, I could see that. I think
it was just kind of it wasn't enough to like make me not like the story, but it was just like it just seemed like it was going to go down one path and then didn't.
Well,
you know,
honestly, I think Halloween Worm, I didn't think it was as good as The Curse, but mm-hmm. It came so close in certain aspects to one particular night in my childhood.
Oh, God.
No. That's what I'm saying. In certain aspects, there was no like creepy ass.
For the readers at home, there's a pedophile in this story.
There is. That was not one of the aspects. But no, okay. So it starts with a bully a bully bullying these kids.
It starts mid-fight.
Yeah. Bullies these kids, and the kid picks up a rock and hits him in the face, right?
Yeah, like that you do.
That happened when I was a kid. We were going into high school. I was over at my friend at the time. I was friends with this guy, Ryan, who sounds like I'm lying and just covering for Brian.
It was Ryan. Ryan L. Blaney.
But anyway, we were over at his house, and across the street, we were going into high school. Across the street from his house were some kids leaving high school, and they were having a party, and we were just like, hey, let's see what's going on over here, right? There's girls. And so obviously we're too young for this party, but we decided to go anyway. And they were like, you're going into high school? Well, we're going to tree you. Now, if you're not familiar, at the time, treeing was an initiation that existed mostly in lore.
Yeah.
But I do know there was one guy in my sister's grade that this happened to, and he lost one of his testicles from it. And so what they would do is each person would grab a leg and an arm, and they would run you into a tree with your balls.
Crutch first, yeah.
And so they started going toward us. Like, they were gonna grab us, and I grabbed a rock, and dude, I nailed a dude in the face with a rock. Like, nailed him hard. And it was me, him, and you remember Corey. Corey and Ryan bolted. Dude, I ran straight into Ryan's house and locked the door, and a lot of people were coming after me since I was the guy that threw the rock. I didn't want to get my balls hit into a tree.
No, that's understandable.
I felt justified. I still feel justified. All right. And so anyway, but yeah. And so Ryan and Corey, they ran. I locked them out of their house. I didn't mean to. They weren't right behind me. I ran for the house. They ran down the street. I didn't care if Ryan's parents like got involved and were like, why are these people after you? I'd just be like, dude, they were trying to hurt me. So I would assume that the statute of limitations has probably run out on this, seeing as it was 20 years ago and it was me throwing a rock.
Yeah.
It didn't cause the guy any damage. I knew his sister. It never got brought up again. However, Ryan and Corey ran down the block, and one of them pulled a hamstring running from these people. And all this stuff, all because they wanted to tree us, and I threw a rock. So anyway, yeah, that's why.
So that's Halloween worm.
No, but but hitting a bully with a rock is something that I was all in because, you know, like everything else, you kind of relate it to your life.
Yeah.
And so anyway, yeah. So yeah, Halloween worm. Now, I never had any encounters with a creepy pedo. So. Anyway, so what was your favorites?
I really liked The Delicious Death of Parker Stevens.
Oh, did you?
Yeah, and also The Ballad of the Best-Selling Author.
That was really good. Yeah. Really good.
So I'll do Parker Stevens first.
Okay.
So I don't know. It just had everything, like, something about the monsters he encounters. So it's about a guy, right, and his friend, who were staying up watching horror movies. It was Back to the Future, but then also Texas Chainsaw, right? And so something came up where he had to leave. He had to go see like his uncle or something like that, right? And so they were going to give him a ride home. And he's like, nah, the house isn't that far away. I'll just walk through the woods, basically. And he encounters monsters in the woods. And so I really actually liked the monster idea because they were half bug people. Mm-hmm. Right. And I don't know, just something about that actually was unsettling to me.
Yeah.
Right.
Yeah.
And creepy, especially when they first appear. Mm-hmm. Right. And the description of it then. And I don't know. I just liked that story. And I liked the simple idea of an unknown in the woods, even if it's like right next to people's houses, you know, or in between two people's houses, that there's just something that could still be there, you know.
Yeah.
Even so close to home.
You really, really should check out Witches, the one that super friend of the show, Robin Maloney, recommended to us.
Oh, yeah. The comic?
Yeah, I let Peach borrow it. I bought the trade. I got it for like $6. Yeah. And yeah, it's really good. But it's witches that live in the woods.
Mm-hmm.
And like you claim, like you basically mark somebody to be theirs, mm-hmm. to be their sacrifice. It's really, really good. Neat. But yeah, no, I thought that was a very good story. What was it about the best-selling author one that you liked?
Okay. So it's about a guy, right, who's, you know, a book nerd, especially like a horror book nerd, but he's burned out on zombie genre fiction, mm-hmm. right? And he's hanging out at a bookstore, and this New York Times best-selling author of a zombie series is going to do a book signing at his favorite bookstore, right? And it's just the guy is just a complete like jackass, yeah, right. But like, you know, you find out over the course of the story that our main character is an aspiring author, right? But he hasn't really done anything. Uh-huh. You know, and everybody's just kind of like, so how about that book you're writing?
I found that completely relatable.
Yeah. And so like the whole time he's talking about how the zombie genre itself is played out. He blames The Walking Dead and all this stuff. Right. And it's funny because in the middle, it basically becomes like a zombie story in his mind, you know, whenever they're at the club. And he's talking, he's thinking about what would happen if zombies were actually here and stuff. And then, you know, I don't want to ruin the ending.
What happens? Yeah.
Yeah. But it was just a nice, like, sort of, you know, he even says it in the author notes. It's like, you know, just a nice love hate story about zombies, because it's just, there's just something about them where they are, I don't know if I would really consider them to be scary. You know, because
they're like, just played out.
Yeah. You know? But I mean, but they're such a good vehicle for a lot of things, you know, for that. You know, they hit on multiple levels, you know, because it's like this unending impending doom that you can't really get away from, even like the slow Romero zombies. Right. And, you know, just the hordes thing plays on, you know, for me, I don't like huge crowds of people,
mm-hmm.
you know, and so like I kind of get a little bit of anxiety about it. And so it's like, you know, we don't really talk about Walking Dead on here, but the last episode was basically them versus like 10,000 zombies, right? And it's like that's a little uneasy to me. But on the other hand, you have the fact that yes, they're played out and everybody does zombies, you know, and so you have to bring something new to the table.
Mm-hmm.
To do it. And I think this did it, you know, like to me, it was a fresh take on a zombie idea that, I mean, I've seen sort of similar things, you know, but I don't know. It was just to me, it was nice and a nice refreshing take.
Yeah. I really, really liked that story. I will say there was one thing in the middle that happened that made the character not a sympathetic, like the protagonist, not sympathetic to me.
Mm-hmm.
Like it completely, I was all in until this one.
No, I don't think he was a sympathetic character.
No, but I did enjoy whatever happens. And then he plays kind of the unreliable narrator card,
mm-hmm.
Where you're not sure what this guy's intentions are, and I really, really liked it. But yeah, I really, really felt like a lot of this kind of read as EC Comics, you know?
Yeah.
And that's really good, because I think that, you know, whether it be zombies, serial killers, whatever, if you only can write about one subject, it's a problem, you know?
Mm-hmm.
And he showcased his style across very literal, grounded horror, as well as supernatural. And, mm-hmm. I don't know. I really, really enjoyed this anthology. So good job.
What are you going to give it?
I would give it a 4 out of 5.
Yeah, I was thinking, I was leaning towards either 4 or 3.5.
Yeah.
I mean, it's really solid. So
yeah, I would say, okay, so this is $2.99 on Amazon. Buy it.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
You know?
I mean, because at the very least, it shows you what this guy can do.
Mm-hmm.
You know, some of the stories are a little older. Because I think he said it was written between 2012 and 2014, something like that.
Yeah.
But you know, if this is older work, there's only people usually only improve, right?
Yeah.
Like literary works most of the time. But I don't know. I think it's worth it.
Yeah. Definitely. Yeah. I really, really liked it. I also normally I find it off-putting when short stories are as dense as this, mm-hmm. because he kind of had a lot more attention to detail that you would find more in novels, not where you're counting
yeah.
your words to try yeah. and keep them as short as possible.
There were some, like, this is not a criticism because I really liked it. Like, I highlight a bunch of stuff I like in the books, right? And I have so many similes that I thought were interesting, like, highlighted in there. Because, like, he would do, like, just weird things, you odd, know, that you
don't. Odd metaphors that I got, similes, where, you know, her brain was swimming, or it was like her brain was swimming with snakes. Or I don't really
yeah,
know.
Yeah, like there was one in The Curse that was like, the room was like the scent of a dirty teenage secret.
Yeah.
And I was like, that really doesn't mean much, but I know exactly what he means.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Like that's not like,
well, yeah. I wish I had highlighted them, but I remember one with snakes and one with wasps. And mm-hmm. I was like, man, this dude really likes comparing things to pissed off animals.
Like, yeah. But now, there was some great ones in there. You know, I don't know. It just, I like his style.
Yeah. Yep. Well, cool. Well, unless you have anything to add, I think we will be back with our review of Hell and Back.
Mm-hmm. No, I'm good with that.
All right, we'll be right back.
Behind a Barbizon, and she really looks like one. She said,
"Hi, I'm Scan,"
and showed a whole lot, but didn't seem to have a whole lot within. I'm small talk, blah, 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 about the weather and all, because I'd love to stand here another year, winter, spring, summer, fall, into pieces it pleases the eye. It's nice to know that there are problems outside of my own. I feel better, better, move to 10 items or less. Should I let her, let me in front of her? Sure, I guess. I'm close to check out, she asked,
"Are you the walrus?"
I said yes without listening.
Oh, come on, be honest.
I'm close to check out, she asked,
"Are you the walrus?"
I said yes, and that's a promise.
Oh, come on, be honest.
Be honest, be honest, be honest, be honest. I have 5 items in the waiting asylum. Take everybody's burdens, let's pile them up on the counter, call it a conveyor belt. And as I look around, I see a wannabe dad using his belt on the screaming baby, oh baby, oh baby. The constellation on her face said he did the same to his lady. 10,080.
Welcome back. So yeah, this is a review of Hell and Back, which was a film that came out to like 400 and something theaters in October of last year being 2015. Well, you know, these podcasts yeah. exist in perpetuity.
They last forever.
Yeah. Yeah.
They're timeless, if you will.
Yeah, especially one like this. So, with current movie and book reviews. So, yeah, Hell and Back. Other than just a preview that I saw here and there, I didn't know much about this film. You?
I had never heard of this until you told me about it.
Yeah, and it's odd. Like, I knew that Mila Kunis was in it. Mm-hmm. I knew that T.J. Miller was in it.
Yeah.
I did not know of anyone else. The supporting cast for this is insane.
Yeah, Susan Sarandon's in it.
Yeah. So you got them, Nick Swartzen. One of these things is not like the other.
Nick Swartzen.
Bob Odenkirk and Danny McBride, Rob Riggle, Jennifer Riggle. Coolidge, best known as Stifler's mom.
Maria Bamford.
Maria Bamford, Brian Pazane, Michael Pena, Kumail Nanjiani, David Koechner, Paul Scheer, J.B. Smoove, Kerry Kenny, or Kenny Silver, you know.
Brian Pazane.
Yeah, I said him.
Oh, did you?
Yeah. I mean,
did you say Greg Proops?
No, he's not on mine.
Did you say Paul F. Tompkins?
No. Yeah. Those are amazing. Like, there's not anyone in this cast I did not know who they were.
Yeah.
So
no, and what's weird is like every little like demon and stuff like that, it was like, "Hey, I recognize that voice." Like, no matter how insignificant they were, yeah. It was weird.
The one voice I didn't recognize. In fact, I saw Danny McBride's name, and I didn't recognize his voice because he has a very distinctive voice.
Yeah.
Did
he's
you?
Orpheus.
Yeah, but he didn't even sound like him. In fact, I ended up rewinding.
It sounded like him doing a voice.
Yeah. So, which is kind of odd because I think you hired Danny McBride because he's got Danny McBride's voice. but
okay. So this movie is basically Orpheus, like the tale of Orpheus.
Yes.
And they even mention that in the movie.
Yeah.
You know, it's basically, except for it's not a girlfriend that he goes back to get. It's starts off with a group of friends who work at a carnival. Or it's like a boardwalk carnival. Right. And they end up making an oath. One of them makes an oath to a blood oath on this satanic Bible type thing, you know, like you do. And it was for a breath mint. But
because the other one never gave him
he owed him a breath mint. And he's like, "Well, I'll give you a breath mint if you give me one of yours." And he was like, "Fine, I've got some in my pocket." And they did the blood oath, and then he didn't have any breath mints, and so it opened up a portal to hell and sucked him in. And so the other two friends go back on a quest to get him. And that's the basic plot of the story. Now, if you're listening to this and you're like, "That sounds funny,"
it wasn't.
You're wrong.
No, this
like the premise of it is great.
Oh, okay? And we only mentioned earlier this is stop motion, and this is a rated R, hard R cartoon.
And here's the thing: it's got all these things going for it. Okay, like I like stop motion. I don't care. Shut up. Right.
I do.
The style of it, I liked. It was unique. It was almost like Corpse Bride-y, you know, like Tim Burton-esque.
Yeah.
Right. But, I liked the style of it and the design. The cast was great. The premise is great. None of it worked.
No, there was only a few jokes that landed with me. And it was all the same character. It was the demon.
Was it the Welcome to Hell guy?
Yeah, the Pizza Hut and Taco Bell.
The Pizza Hut was the best part.
Yeah. So, like, it was. Did you watch in the credits when he kept doing it?
Yeah.
Yeah.
That was the best part.
Yeah. No other joke was good in the film. Like, it was just dirty for dirty's sake. And I love dirty humor. Mm-hmm. It's got to be funny. It can't just be dirty. You know, and I don't know. It just, this was a piss poor film. I mean, I don't know how to, I'm not saying don't see it. It might be up your wheelhouse. I just can't see anyone liking this movie.
Okay. So I was watching it and it clicked on me what this movie sounded like. Okay. So you have all of these really good, you know, or funny actors, right? Good voice talent, right? It sounded like they were all ad-libbing, okay, which is not necessarily a bad thing, okay, but it sounded like they were ad-libbing by themselves and they didn't hear what the other people were talking about. You know what I mean? It's like they did all of their voice tracks solo.
Yeah.
Is what it sounded like to me.
Yeah.
Because, like, everything was just so flat.
Every single aspect of this film. Like,
and it's such a shame because, like, looking at it, I was like, this looks like it could be good.
Oh, I was so excited to see this. Yeah, I really honestly, I mean, there was not one point that I laughed hard. That sucks. Because these are, like, these are the people who I kind of look to for, like, great, you know, some of my favorite stuff has the same cast, you know? Yeah. And it's just like, how did you misuse this many elements?
A lot of these people are some of my favorite comedians right now.
Yeah.
You know?
It's frustrating. Even the artwork, okay, the art looked great, but they didn't do anything super great with the visuals. They showed that they had the capability to, and nothing was even that impressive. And they're going through a guided tour of hell, you know? It's just...
Yeah, because, like, all right, there were points with, you know, these big cavernous expanses and airships and junk like that, and like gondolas, or like a, is that what you call the ones on the wires?
Yeah.
Like a gondola.
Yeah.
That's also like a boat with a stick, right?
Wait, no. Yeah. No, it's not a gondola that they
What's the one?
I don't know, man.
Do it on the wires.
I don't know.
You go up the mountain. Anyway, it doesn't matter. They had like all these like points.
Sky cart?
Wire sky cart.
Yeah, I believe
that's what it's called. No, but like they had all these points where there was the opportunity to be big and grand, right? Like I said, airship battles, or not battle, but like airship stuff. Everything felt small. Like everything felt teeny tiny.
And not like small in a kind of charming Wallace and Gromit type thing.
Yeah.
No.
I don't know.
There was nothing to like about this film.
And that's so sad.
I know. I was really, really pumped about it. But unless you just require dirty jokes without being witty, being clever.
I like to think that the B&E listeners
are more discerning than that. No. Well, I mean, imagine like if Harold and Kumar had no punchlines and no storytelling, like no good plot. Like, you might be in the same ballpark as this, because there was just a lot of dirty jokes for no sense. That said, I love Harold and Kumar movies. They're funny as hell. But I mean, it just wasn't really good. This might be my least liked thing that we've ever reviewed on here.
Yeah, I probably agree with that.
Because
even other movies have had some redeeming qualities.
Yeah.
This did not.
Yeah, I'm going to say 1 out of 5.
Yeah, because I don't think our rating actually goes to 0.
No, we haven't. I can't give it a 0 just because it was a stop motion.
Yeah, there's
film.
So much effort that had to go into that.
Yeah, but I mean, but I think that 1 out of 5 would be our lowest, and that's what I'll give it.
That's exactly 1 out of 5. My thoughts.
Because even on other films, like these low budget ones, there's budget limitations, you know, and things that they couldn't pull off. On certain ones, like, what was it, Paul Bunyan one, Axe Giant, you know, there's something funny about them. There's something charming. This didn't have charm. They showed that they had at least had the money for this voice cast, you know, like they didn't seem to be inhibited by budget. So
no. And plus, making a stop motion animation movie, like a complete full stop motion thing, is costly in and of itself.
Yeah. So I don't know.
I don't know what the budget is. I can't find it.
I couldn't find it either. I was looking at it. It only made 100-something thousand in theaters. Yep. And so, yeah, I mean, that said,
I hope nobody signed up for points.
Oh dude, that would suck. I mean, other than that, I mean, I've been really, really excited to see some of these rated R stop motion films, because there's a few. There's this. There's Sausage Party with Seth Rogen. There's a few other ones that I've seen, like, trailers and stuff for, or rumblings about. And, I mean, if this is what they are, dude, kill them. Kill them all with fire. Burn them. They're horrible. I've never, ever regretted a iTunes rental before, you know? Because I'm pretty discerning with my purchases. I'll stream anything on Netflix. But, yeah, I want my $4 back. And it's only $4, and I'm mad about it.
Yeah.
This sucked.
Now, see, the thing is, like, the main writers on this are from Robot Chicken.
Yeah. I love Robot Chicken.
Yeah. And it's just like, maybe it's a length thing. Because the little one-off jokes with the other demon who was like, welcome to hell, like every single time.
Yeah.
Like, those were great.
Yeah.
Like, but it's just the overall arcing story was just meh.
What did you rate it?
One.
Okay. All right. So 2 ones. Yeah.
Can we go half?
We can go zero if you...
I'm going to give it a one.
Yeah, yeah. I can't give it a zero anyway because there was some sort of effort. But effort doesn't have to be rewarded, and therefore I will not reward it on my tiny podium to dozens of people. So, anyway. But, yeah.
Yeah. That's it. That's all I got for this. Like...
Yeah, I was really, really excited to see it too. That's what sucks. Like when I saw that this was out, I was like, dude, we got to cover it. Yes, 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 yes. And that was shit.
Yeah. I mean, and like, I didn't have any expectations going into it. And it didn't meet any of them, any of my non-existent expectations. Yeah.
Pretty bad. All right. Well, sorry to leave you on a downer note. But, yeah, I guess make sure and check out our store.
At bmoviesandebooks.com.
Yeah.
/shop.
Yeah.
Facebook and Twitter. B&E Pod.
Yeah.
Other B&E Network podcasts, such as Longbox Small Talk. And maybe Toxic City eventually.
Yeah.
And anything else?
Yeah.
Wait. Oh, well, you just kept saying and like there was something I was missing.
Oh. No.
Okay. then we're done.
The podcast you just heard is part of the B&E Network. Brought to you by bmoviesandebooks.com.